Morning, everybody, and welcome once more. There'll be tea and coffee at the end of the service, as usual, in the Mayo Hall, so do feel free to go through and meet others, and then come back for the 11:30 service, where we're welcoming a lot of people because of a baptism. Pastoral news today. Dot Dixon is in Kennet Ward at Kingston Hospital. Dot Dixon in Kennet Ward at Kingston Hospital. And Brian Parker is out of hospital. Congratulations in various directions. Stella and Ray's youngest granddaughter, is that right? Has graduated with honours in Switzerland and leaves today to work in Singapore. So can we remember her? And congratulations also to Chris Bevan on his A-level results and Laura Bevan on her excellent GCSE results. Picnic today at 1 o'clock, so you've obviously got all your food with you, heading for Cambry Gardens, where you can eat it. There'll be things to do and music to listen to a bit later on. And then also with food on Wednesday, the 8th of September, there's a summer tea here in the afternoon. And that's on the service paper. The elders' election list has been posted, but I gather one or two have got out without postage. So we... Yeah, there we go. Well... I don't know. I wasn't involved this time, but still... but if you haven't got your elders list and something has gone wrong in that way, can you let me know, please? There's a Surrey Churches cycle ride on the 11th of September, and Liz Cook is the one to tell you more about it. There'll be a lot of people visiting churches as they cycle around, and it's in aid of the Surrey Churches Preservation Trust. And for our kitchen project in our case. Ask for Liz Cook, and if you want to sponsor anybody, you could sponsor her. Wouldn't that be nice? Vaughan is away for the month of September, so you've got to put up with me in the meantime, please. So I'm the fall guy, and it'd be very helpful to Robin Hoare if you could channel things for him through me, because he's particularly busy this month. And I'll be around so I can easily do that. Two people that won't trust me to give their messages are Pat and also Bron Robinson, so can I leave it to them?
It's nothing to do with not trusting you, Derek. It's all to do with wanting to show off, you know that? Listen, it's coming nearer. Very much nearer. Not tomorrow, but next week, it's Christianity Explored. And if you don't want to come yourself, you could bring your friend and somebody who doesn't know anything about Christianity. That's what it is. 7:30 here. On Tuesday, 7:30 here in the training room, both places in the training room, Esther. You might not know much about Esther. She comes from the Old Testament, and it's the only book in the Old Testament that doesn't actually mention the word God. But nevertheless, it's a very interesting book. Now, if you don't want to do either of those things, on Wednesday the 15th, and it can't be the 8th, as I said last time, because of the summer tea, but on Wednesday the 15th, then if you would like to, you can come and at 2 o'clock join the Christianity Explored. Anyone who wants to do that, very, very welcome. Remember what I said, if you come on Monday, it's coffee and biscuits. If you come on Tuesday, it's cheese and wine. And if you come on Wednesday, it's coffee and cake, or tea and cake.
Hi, I just want to remind you about the picnic, which Derek's done already, but just to reassure you that there is free parking at Cambry Gardens today, if you wanted to join us, and bring a chair. I've got a few in the car, but do bring a chair. And the other thing is, these bags are on sale today, bargain, £4, in the Mayo Hall afterwards, so please come and find me and buy one. Thank you.
Let us join together to worship God. Praise the Lord. You servants of the Lord, praise God's holy name. May God's name be praised now and forever. From the east and the west, praise the name of the Lord. All my hope on God is founded. We join to sing. Let us join together to pray. Let us pray. O God, our strength and our joy, we praise you for your great goodness to us. We praise you for the abundance of your giving. You rescued your people from slavery in Egypt. You took the burdens from their backs and gave them rest. You guided and sustained them through the desert. We praise you for offering the same abundance to us now. We call to you and you listen. We ask for help and you hear. We admit our needs and you are there for us. We praise you for giving us the freedom to choose. When we disobey you, you never force us. When we ignore your voice, you do not shout at us. When we turn away from you, you allow us our independence. We praise you, O Lord our God, because in your great generosity, you are always willing to give. And in your great patience, you are always willing to wait until we are ready to receive. Forgive us, O God, for those times when we are not generous with others, when we are spiteful and when we are mean. Forgive us for those times when we measure out like a miser our time, our interest. And may your spirit of abundant love guide us in all our relationships. Open us, Lord Jesus, to the flow of your Spirit, and we pray in your name. Amen. Let us say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. A story that we're going to hear later on from Jesus, and I wonder whether it's the story that actually is the basis of the fact that people in churches don't sit at the front, because it's the story where Jesus criticizes those who go to the front. And I just wondered, you know, whether that's in the mix somewhere. I don't know. And it's a story which is all about where you sit at a dining table. And I wonder whether somewhere it's also about how you behave and how you relate to people. And this week, there will be people who are starting new experiences, and they have the whole difficulty of working out how you behave with people. So there will be people who are going away from home for the first time, and there will be people who are now thinking, actually, I've got to get serious about getting a job for the first time. And there will be people who are going to school for the first time. So let's pray for them. Let's pray. God, it's difficult sometimes to know how to behave. We ask for your help for those people who are about to start new experiences. School, university, work, leaving home, leaving the full-time care of whether it's their childminder, their nanny, or one of their parents. We ask that you would help them to know when they should go forward and when they should hold back, when they should offer their opinion, when they should keep their mouth shut, when they should do something, when they shouldn't. And help us too, because we know that we often get that wrong. But help us to be bold in loving. Bless them, Lord Jesus, we pray in your name. Amen. Going to join to sing, in which you'll find, well, I can't even remember what number it is. But anyway, it's Jesu, Jesu. There it is. Judaism is a religion that tells people how it is and how to behave. It's a practical religion. Christian preachers preach about what they believe. Rabbis tell their congregation what they are to do. This passage from Hebrews, which James Fells will read to us, is a passage that tells people what they should be doing.
A reading from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 13, verses 1 to 8, and 15 and 16. Keep on loving one another as Christian brothers and sisters. Remember to welcome strangers in your homes. There are some who did that and welcomed angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison as though you were in prison with them. Remember those who are suffering as though you were suffering as they are. Marriage is to be honored by all, and husbands and wives must be faithful to each other. God will judge those who are immoral and those who commit adultery. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, I will never leave you. I will never abandon you. Let us be bold then and say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Remember your former leaders who spoke God's message to you. Think back on how they lived and died, and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let us then always offer praise to God as our sacrifice through Jesus, which is the offering presented by lips that confess him as Lord. Do not forget to do good and to help one another, because these are the sacrifices that please God.
Greek writings, eating and drinking, often quite a lot of the old drinking, provided the sort of setting for philosophical discussions. And it could well be that that explains why the writer of the Gospel according to Luke portrays Jesus very often at meals. Could be a sort of nod in that direction, picking up that tradition. And here we have Jesus eating, drinking, teaching. And Margaret Golding will read this passage to us.
The reading is from Luke chapter 14, verse 1 and verses 7 to 14. One Sabbath, Jesus went to eat a meal at the home of one of the leading Pharisees, and people were watching Jesus closely. Jesus noticed how some of the guests were choosing the best places, so he told this parable to all of them. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not sit down in the best place. It could happen that someone more important than you has been invited, and your host, who invited both of you, would have to come and say to you, let him have this place. Then you would be embarrassed and have to sit in the lowest place. Instead, when you're invited, go and sit at the lowest place, so that your host will come to you and say, come up, my friend, to a better place. This will bring you honour in the presence of all the other guests. For all those who make themselves great will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be made great. Then Jesus said to his host, when you give a lunch or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbours, for they will be paid for what you did. When you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they are not able to pay you back. God will repay you on the day the good people rise from death. Amen.
So as I said, a lot of eating and drinking in the Gospel according to Luke. A lot of eating in company, lot of hospitality. And here from teaching of Jesus and from the Hebrews, we get two issues that come from being around a dinner table. How do you behave when you are a host? How do you behave when you are a guest? As a host then, why do you invite those people that you do invite to dinner? Or why do you not invite people to eat and take dinner with you? And if not dinner, if dinner would be too complicated, then why don't you invite certain people to come out with you for a drink or have a coffee? Why don't you do it? From Hebrews, it's a sort of direct instruction that some people find very helpful, others don't, but people find very helpful. So a set of instructions here. Invite people to eat in your home. Value marriage. Be free of the love of money. Look after your leaders. Let me say that again. No. Share with others. And from Luke, the instruction in being humble. Do not be snatching at the most important place when you come to eat. Be generous with people, whether they can reciprocate or whether they cannot. So there's a generosity of spirit that pervades both of these readings. Entertain people in your home because you may be entertaining angels. Now, even if you don't know it, remember, an angel, don't think, I was going to say skellig, but I don't suppose many of you know what skellig is. Don't think little cherub. Think angel equals messenger of God. How many times have you been in a conversation with somebody and you have known that they are an angel to you? Because they're saying something that you know that you need to hear. A messenger from God. It might be you should go home more quickly. It might be, you know, clear off. But, you know, the messenger of God, that's what an angel is. So it could be that as you entertain somebody, if you are listening, you are going to hear what God is saying to you. It says, don't force yourself forward. If you end up in the best seat of an occasion, obviously a formal dining wedding situation like that, most important guests are the closest to the hosts. And if you've messed it up and somebody needs to come and sit in your seat and you've put yourself there, well, I'm afraid you are going to end up right at the bottom. You sit at the bottom, you might well be called up higher. That's the message of the story. Don't put yourself forward. Wait till you're called forward. And there is a generosity in that whole way that you view other people. That you don't think, hey, they're so lucky I'm here. You know, get out the way, I'm at the front. You know, there's a generosity that says, other people are more important than I, therefore I will sit further back. Now, there's a false humility. That's a real problem. A false humility that actually understates what God has done in your life and understates the gifts that God has given you. That's a false humility. That's not what we're about here. We're about the fact that you put yourself in a certain seat because you don't want to embarrass yourself, and you have an expectation that maybe somebody will see you and maybe will call you forward. And if they call you further forward, you'll go. You won't, oh, no, I can't possibly answer. No, none of that gubbins. You know, there's a generosity that says, okay, I will do what you wish. Now, it says clearly from Hebrews that a Christian home should be a centre of hospitality. And I would guess that most people, when they hear that, they think, yeah, they should do that, shouldn't they? You see your house that you live in by yourself, or you see your house that you live in and you're the only person in your house that goes to church, that is a Christian home, and the centre of it is to be hospitality. How are you going to do that? How are we going to do that? For some people, it will be about inviting people for dinner. Some people have a real ministry for that. For some people, it will be about saying, let me take you out for a coffee. Let's have a chat. Let me spend some time with you. But for all of us, it's about getting beyond that sort of distant, formal relationship to something that is deeper. But all of that is really quite a challenge in our times. And I have to say, I've just come back from the cheery, happy northeast. It's quite a challenge in the southeast. That whole business about, you know, my daughters who are southerners, it breaks my heart, but it's true. My daughters who are southerners, the idea that when we go up to the northeast, we just go, oh, let's go and see somebody. Let's go and see Auntie Brenda. So we just drive to Auntie Brenda's house, knock on the door, say, hello, how are you? She'd go, oh, come in, cup of tea. What? You didn't make an appointment? Horrified. That's just the way you do it. And there are places in Britain still where you don't lock your front door, and as somebody walks in, they just knock the door and go, oh, knock, knock, open, knock, knock, open door. Hello? Lordy lot. You know, good grief. One, we have our doors locked. That whole thing about, you know, that distance and the way that we behave, that separation that we have, that, you know, it's a challenge because, you know, you might be a person that's really happy knocking on somebody's door, or you might be really happy with somebody knocking on your door and saying, hello, how are you, you know, walk, as they walk in your front room. But they might not be when you do it to them. You know, phones, police. You know, none of that. You know, so we have to behave in ways that are appropriate, not imposing, that are generous in our view of them. You know, they might well have good reasons why they've had such a day. They need to draw the curtains, pull up the drawbridge, not wanting to see you. Our generosity of spirit is not about us imposing ourselves. You know, if that's what they need, the loving things to say, that's what they need. But the call of Jesus is this generosity of hospitality. Now, the other place, right, our homes, that's one place where it's a challenge. The other place where it's a challenge is as a church community. Especially as a church community that has a building. What about the hospitality that we offer in our building? As I said, I'm just back from the northeast, and there's one particular hotel where the staff have been trained. It's just, you walk in, hello. You know, you get that, none of that, hi, how are you today stuff. Not a genuine smile, and you have, you know, you feel that if you ask them for something, you know, if the staff could, they would. That's the vibe. They're well trained. If they could, they would. Is that the vibe that people get when they walk into our building? I've been in church buildings where you walk in and you feel that people are watching you, and you feel that they think, oh, blimey, I think she's going to nick the toilet paper. You know, you get that not very, you know, not very welcoming, bit suspicious. Pardon? I am that sort of, I've got obviously got toilet paper nicker written all over them. When people come in our building, is it, if we can, we will? Or do you think they get a sense that we're, what harm is this person going to do to us? A generosity of spirit. You know, this is our spiritual home. If we can't bear to be generous in our houses, maybe could we bear to be generous with this bit of plant that God has given us? We used to, once upon a time, run a thing called the Overseas Club. Some of you remember it? Some of you know? Yeah. Now, when we do interfaith things now, there's a man who comes up and asks about Kingston Knight Reformed Church. He's a Muslim, and he talks about Roy Cullum, who's a man who used to be one of the stalwarts of this church. He's now dead. And this man, this Muslim guy, talks about how he used to come for this international club, overseas club, and how great it was. So, I mean, that whole overseas club is long gone. But that warm memory of receiving a welcome, receiving care, that is still there. And so this man, this Muslim guy, turns up for these interfaith events. Because once upon a time, in some Christian church building, he was welcome. And maybe that's something of the spirit of some of the things that we're trying to do with our Thursday night International Friendship Cafe. Maybe it's something of the thing that we're trying to do with the foyer service, the coffee service. All that sort of stuff is, you know, it sounds all really rather pathetic. But if somebody has an experience that is a good, warm experience, will they not take that into their thinking and into their relationships in other places? And can we not? We can certainly make a negative impression. Can we not make a positive one? Now, all this stuff about Jesus and hospitality, I don't believe that Jesus expected us to put ourselves at risk. So I don't think Jesus expected us to be plucking strangers off the street and saying, yeah, of course you can come and stay in my house, no problem. You know, just park your axe by the front door. You know, I don't think that Jesus was thinking that. He wasn't thinking that we should, you know, make ourselves vulnerable. But I do think that he was thinking that we should be generous. We have been given our homes and our houses. Why? Well, you work that out. Why have you got that? And how are you going to use it for God's purposes? And just because you're not a person who can cook a three-course meal, and because you can't do that, doesn't mean that you can't be generous. What does it mean? And of course, there are people who do cook three-course meals and who completely mess it up, because they're so busy faffing around with the food that they forget to talk to you. I don't care about the food. I can eat out in a restaurant. Talk to me. You know, that, isn't it? You know. So we don't have to think, oh, I can't buy into this package, therefore I can't do anything. You have to do what you can and do it as well as you can with a generous spirit. And this, you know, it's all difficult, and sometimes we miss the point. And so there's this book on, as you can imagine, there's a lot of wedding malarkey going on in our house. And there's this book on modern wedding manners. I can't remember who wrote it. And this woman, she's really angry about so much of modern wedding stuff. And she says that bride and grooms have lost the plot and they're so invested in, you know, getting their signature cocktail that they forget about inviting Auntie Mabel. Because you've only got so much money. And so that what you need to do is work out how many people you want to have, how much money you've got, and then on the basis of that, that's how you entertain. And it could well be that you end up, you'll like this one, Murray, could well be that you end up having a sandwich in a church hall. Yes, I thought you'd like that. Because if that's how the equation works out, that's what you end up with. Because your focus is on the people. Attitude of God that God has given us in Jesus Christ is of generosity. That God has come among us, died on the cross. God has shown that God has the power over death. When God, who is God, could have stayed safe and away from us and just thought, you lot, just get on with it. Just get on with it. But God has made God's self vulnerable in coming among us. And that generous love is what we are called to copy and to emulate in our relationships with others. And what does that mean for each one of us in the way that we are to do this? Well, I think that's probably our homework for the week, eh? Let's be silent and then we will pray. For some of us, Lord Jesus, this is a very difficult teaching. For some of us, it's easy. But you know who we are. You know the things that are a problem to us. But for all of us, help us to be generous in our relationships with others. And we pray in your name. Amen. We join to sing Such Love. Let us join to pray for others. Let us pray. Great and wonderful God, thank you for the gifts and abilities you give us to use in your service. Help us to use them wisely and well, and to remember that though we are special to you, because we are not more special than anybody else. We pray for those people who are not honoured and those people whose gifts are overlooked. Those people whose daily lives are a struggle and that stops them from flourishing as human beings. We pray for those people who find themselves labelled as a group, no longer thought of as individuals. For those people who've made bad choices and led unhealthy or destructive lives. We pray with those people who feel they have no choice. And we pray with those people who lack the courage to love and to grow. We pray to you, O God, and see that in your eyes we are all equal and all precious, and each of us has worth and has gifts to share. Teach us, O God, how to share. Teach us, O God, how to share our building with the wider community. And we pray in the humble love of Jesus, who cares for us all. Amen. So let us continue our worship as we make our offering. Let us pray. For the gifts and graces that you have given to each one of us, O God, may we be generous in the sharing of them. Amen. Join to sing Tell Out My Soul. With us, whether we eat at the highest or the lowest place, may we be generous in our behaviour towards others. And may the blessing of God the Almighty, the Creator, the Son, and the Spirit be with us and those whom we love, for now, forever. Amen.